You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The French Open on In Play Radio.
Hello everyone, welcome along to the French Open Tennis Podcast, looking at the quarterfinals at Roland Garros. A fantastic selection of quarterfinals for us to preview here. It's Dave Kellner in the studio, and I'm joined by our tennis correspondent Nick Lester on the line. First of all, good morning, Nick.
Morning, Dave.
Been a good week so far. I've enjoyed the tennis immensely, and we've got a cracking looking quarterfinal lineup, haven't we?
Yeah, we have. I mean, it's, as you say, certainly on the men's side of things, obviously the majority of the big guys have stayed in. I think it's the first time we've had the big four, as they're known, in the last eight of a major in a couple of years, which underlines really, of course, a couple of injuries for a couple of the players. And it has been a good first week. I mean, certainly I think the major four players have all looked very solid. Certainly, you know, Nadal has played well. Djokovic, as we expected, has come through without too much trouble. And Murray and Federer likewise. So definitely the men's side is shaping up well. The women's side obviously has had a couple of upsets. In fact, more than a couple. And it certainly leaves one player that looks to be the standout. But, you know, there may certainly be a couple of others who throw their hat in the ring, because there are a couple of young players in there who certainly can be aggressive tennis players and come out there and attack Serena Williams. So, and Serena's not looked particularly good. So, you know, there is all to play for, as you say.
Eight matches to preview, Nick, so let's get stuck in. And we'll start on the men's side with Stanislas Wawrinka versus Roger Federer. This should be entertaining, highly entertaining, all-Swiss battle. Stan Wawrinka is 19-10 to win the match. Roger Federer is 2-5. This is a matchup that Federer has dominated throughout the years, Nick, and a matchup he seems to enjoy. Maybe Wawrinka sometimes slightly overawed, given he has idolised Roger Federer, especially in the early part of his career.
Yeah, I'm not sure idolised is the right word. I think more being in the shadow, really. Okay. I think, you know, you probably could look at it one of two ways, and maybe you're right, but I probably think it's slightly more of the fact that he's just not been able to garner any attention himself because of obviously what Federer has been able to achieve. So he now obviously stands in his own right, having won a major championship. You know, he's definitely a man of his, you know, having won big titles in the last couple of years. And, you know, we did think, didn't we, at the start of the tournament that he might have a good run here, especially with that bottom half being fairly kind of wide open, Dave, with the players that, you know, the way the kind of draw worked out. And to be honest, Wawrinka's done nothing wrong at all. You know, I thought he played really well against Gilles Simon a couple of days ago. If you look through the numbers of that match, I mean, Simon's been playing great. Conditions did favour him. It was very heavy. It has been very tough here, Dave. I mean, the weather's been pretty rough for the first 8 or 9 days. It's been pretty wet and dark and dull, and it's been tough conditions. You know, it's favoured, as we said before the start of the tournament, it's favoured guys who are able to hit through the court, the heavy hitters, and Wawrinka's certainly been one of those. So he's not been troubled at all thus far. I think if you're betting in this match, I actually think, to be honest, the best way to bet this match, if you fancy Wawrinka, is actually to bet him on the outright here. Because if he wins, his outright, I'm guessing, is somewhere about 12-16 to 1 right now. If he wins here, Dave, I fancy him to get to the final. And I think if you're going to back him in this match, rather than take the 19-10, I think it's probably better off from a betting perspective to back him on the outright, maybe an each way bet. Because if he beats Federer, the confidence he will have going forwards, certainly I think we'll see him as a warm favourite to beat either Nishikori or Songa. I think going back individually to this match, I can't go away from Federer. Certainly, if you, as you say, looking at their head-to-head, 16-2, break it down a little further, you go into the majors, it's 3-0 in the majors for Federer head-to-head as well. But Wawrinka's dropped just one set. If you go a little deeper, Dave, again, into the stats of both players on the tournament so far, it's very similar. Both have got a very good winners to unforced errors ratio. They played a couple of weeks ago in Rome, and it was a blowout. Wawrinka didn't show up. A lot of this does depend on how well Wawrinka comes out here. I have a feeling this is going to be close. It wouldn't surprise me if this actually were the best of a quarterfinal of the week. Much of the build-up, obviously, is around tomorrow. I'm going to stick with Fed, maybe just in 5 sets here, Dave.
Federer to win 3-2 is 5-1. And if you are looking at Stanislas Wawrinka in the outright for the tournament, 18-1 here with William Hill. Yeah. Third, the odds place 1-2. So that could be the way to play it if you think Wawrinka's got a shot here.
Exactly, Dave. I think if you fancy Wawrinka to win this match, I wouldn't be backing him at the price on offer versus Federer. I'd be backing him at the 18-1 because I think if he can find a way through here, he's been such an all-or-nothing player in the last 2 years. Whenever he's got a run together, he's been able to either win the tournament or make the final. So I think that 18-1 is very appealing.
You mentioned the heavy conditions as well, Nick. Does that favour Wawrinka or Federer if it is heavy out there?
Wawrinka, definitely, without a shadow of a doubt. Obviously, Federer's had to obviously cope with the conditions in the last couple of matches. I was very disappointed with Gael Monfils yesterday. You know, he didn't really show up in the sets 3 and 4. Obviously, came out and said he had a bit of a sort of virus, a flu thing going on there. But, you know, that's always been the way with him, isn't it? So today, the weather forecast, certainly having been outside this morning, it is fairly overcast. It is fairly dull again. It's not going to be that warm. So that will favour Wawrinka, Dave. A lot depends on whether he sees, you know, if he can get game firing, this is going to be, I think, very close. But I'm just going to shade Federer.
On to the other quarter today in the men's side. Kai Nishikori versus Joe Wilfred Tsonga. Nishikori is 2-7. Joe Wilfred Tsonga 13-5. Joe Wilfred Tsonga only dropped one set in the championship so far, and that was in his last 16 match against Thomas Burdick. Kai Nishikori has come through unscathed, hasn't dropped a set, and had a walkover win against Benjamin Becker. That walkover win against Benjamin Becker, not having to play that day, that could be beneficial as the tournament progresses.
Well, especially for a guy who's struggled physically. I mean, you know, that, as you say, that's a huge bonus for Nishikori. Not a guy who's known for his, you know, endurance, if you like. Obviously, that's an area of his game that's definitely improving. But I think physically he has struggled. So to get that one match, that, you know, 4 or 5 day break during a major championship for him has been a real bonus. Must say, I was extremely taken by the way Joe Wilfried Tsonga played against Thomas Burdick a couple of days ago. He looks, I think physically he's got himself in very good shape. He's trimmed down a little bit. I know he's worked very hard on that side of his game, the serve and the forehand. As we know, if those two shots are working for him, he will be able to hurt anyone. And Burdick was just blown away. Difference being, I think in this matchup, Dave, Nishikori moves a lot better than Burdick. So Tsonga is going to be aggressive, which you know he will be. Nishikori, I think, is going to be able to defend a little better. He's going to be able to put a few more balls back into play. And on the flip side of that, he's going to be able to be a little more offensive against Tsonga. And, you know, if you can get Tsonga into defensive positions, especially on his backhand side, that's when he struggles. As you mentioned, the head-to-head favours Nishikori 4-1. Again, you know, looking at the odds of this match, I must say I do think there is a bit of value in Tsonga here at the price he's on right now, because the way he played, you know, you have to remember as well with someone like Tsonga, time's running out here. You know, he's 30 years of age. He's not going to get many more chances here to go deep at the French Open. There are a crop of young players coming through to challenge him. So if his mind is certainly telling him that and he comes out strong today, I think there's some good value in Tsonga. Mm. I wouldn't go away from Nishikori, though. I think over 5 sets, I think he should get it done. But again, it wouldn't surprise me if this went to 5, Dave. I can see both matches going the distance today. And I'll probably just lean with Nishikori maybe over the distance in 5 sets.
If you fancy Nishikori 3-2, that's 11-2. You mentioned Joe Wilfred Tsonga's big weakness there, the backhand side. Mm. Has that shot improved over the last 6 to 12 months?
No, hasn't improved over the last 6 years, really, Dave, to be honest. a lot depends how he manages it. I mean, he just doesn't hit it aggressively. He can't hit it aggressively. The way, the shape of it, he doesn't get a lot of shoulder rotation on it, not like Murray and Djokovic and those guys. So it's a weakness, and players can get there. Burdick couldn't really expose it because he couldn't find the backhand for long enough periods. So he was always on the defensive. And, you know, if you go back and look at the highlights of the Tsonga-Burdick match, it was very impressive from Tsonga. The serve was huge. He was taking the racket out of Burdick's hands, and he can do that today. And that's why I think, you know, if you're unsure of this match, I do think it's worth having a couple of quid on Tsonga at a decent price. But, you know, Nishikori, having had that break, having had that rest and that one match off, I did fancy him at the start of the tournament, Dave. Again, I said Wawrinka and Nishikori were the each-way value in the bottom half, yeah. And I wouldn't go away from that. So, you know, I think on if these two play 10 times, I'm going with Nishikori 8 times out of 10.
And those head-to-heads all on hard courts, which would favour Songa over Nishikori,
yes.
Wouldn't it? And this one's on the clay, and Nishikori,
exactly.
Obviously a clay quarter.
Yeah, and you also have to take into consideration Nishikori's got a lot more experience now than he did a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
You know, that big stage, it's going to be on Chatre, big stage. Don't think Nishikori is going to be too worried about that. He's a fine player, an aggressive player. He'll stay up close to the baseline. He'll try and dominate proceedings. And a lot of this match is going to be about who can dictate play first. But I just think defensively, Nishikori is a better player than Burdick. And I think that's what you have to take into consideration. Songa's not going to get quite so many free points.
On to Andy Murray versus David Ferrer. Mouth-watering last eight clash, this one. Andy Murray is 4-9. David Ferrer is 7-4. Match result and both players to win a set. Andy Murray 13-10 in that market. David Ferrer is 9-4. We've got total match games and handicap betting on the William Hill website as well. Andy Murray came through against Jeremy Shardy in the last 16 in four sets. David Ferrer, very impressive, dismantled Marin Cilic, the US Open champion, in straight sets. And Murray does lead the head-to-head, Nick, but it's tight. Murray leads Ferrer 9-6. He's won their last couple of meetings, but they met here back in 2012 in the French Open, and David Ferrer came out on top in four sets, but a different matchup this time round.
Yeah, I agree. Different players this time around, aren't they? Certainly Murray, I think, you know, it's pretty remarkable that for Murray, it's his 17th straight Grand Slam quarterfinal. And, you know, you just underlines how consistent Murray has been at the majors to be able to do that for the last 4 years. You know, he's been there or thereabouts in the last eight, which is staggering in many ways. You know, and you look at his record on clay this year, Dave, you know, he's definitely a better player on clay than he was a year ago. He's played 37 sets on clay this year. He's won 32 of the 37 sets, you know, unbeaten so far. Never beaten Ferrer on a clay court, though. So there's the flip side of the coin. They played three times on clay. You mentioned the last time they played at Roland Garros in 2012, and Ferrer won fairly handily. So a lot really depends on how much you think Murray has improved on a clay court, I think, when you're betting in this match. And there's no doubt he has. I don't think he's played his best tennis, to be honest, here, Murray, so far at this event. Obviously had to come through against Kyrgios, who was a little up and down in the match on Saturday, a little disappointed with the way Kyrgios played. Obviously he was carrying an injury, but I thought he had chances actually to make some inroads against Murray, didn't really take them. And then yesterday against Jeremy Shardy, he won in four sets, and Shardy's probably played yesterday some of the best tennis of his life. So I think Murray's in a pretty good place. I think he'll need to up his levels, obviously, against Ferrer. The big hump match for Ferrer was against Bellelli in a couple of rounds ago. He was down 2-1 to Bellelli, and then Bellelli lost the last two sets 6-love, 6-1, which for me really highlights, again, we say it week after week, but this is what separates the very best at the major championships. You know, being able to beat them over five sets. In a regular tournament, Bellelli would have won that match, but in a major, you've got to sustain it for the extra 45 minutes, and that's where the top eight players in the world have been, you know, set apart. So this is a tough one to call. I'm leaning towards Murray just because I do think he's improved his game this year on a clay court. I think he has the extra confidence on this surface. I think he will try and be a bit more aggressive, certainly try and push Ferrer around a little bit more. You know, if you're playing Ferrer, you want to try and get to the back end as much as you can. You've got to try and break it down. He's a very difficult man to break down. You know, he's such a hard man to outmaneuver. You can't engage with Ferrer in long rallies, because the longer the rally goes on, the more likely it is he's going to be able to force you into difficult parts of the court. So Murray, I think, will know that. I think he'll probably try and use the drop shot quite a bit. We've seen it against Kyrgios a fair bit, against Shardy yesterday. That's one of the great assets he has on this surface. He's able to mix it up so well, and he'll use the slice a fair bit as well, I think, to try and take Ferrer's rhythm away. So I think he's got the tools to beat Ferrer on this surface. Obviously he hasn't done it before, but I think, as I say, I think he's playing the best tennis he's ever played on a clay court, and that's why I'd probably just slightly lean with him, probably in four. I'd be surprised if he beat Ferrer in straight sets, but I'd probably have to go with Murray in four overall. And you know, I said at the start of the tournament that he thinks he can win this tournament, and he came here a week early to do so. So I'm leaning towards Murray here, and I'll probably sneak with him in four, Dave.
Andy Murray to win 3-1, 14-5. You talked a couple of times about Nick Kyrgios there, Nick. Obviously, a highly energised player. Has he got what it takes to move into the top 10 in the world in the future? Because he's fun to watch, isn't he, Kyrgios?
Yes, he has. Definitely has. He's definitely got the tools and needs to grow up a bit, Dave. I think he needs to mature a little bit. There's still a lot of nonsense around him. He's so unique, you know. We've had no one like him in the last decade or 15 years. There's been no one of his talent and raw kind of aggression. You know, he's arrogant, to be honest. That's what he is on court. And in a funny kind of way, we haven't seen that from anyone, you know, that's come through in the younger generation. You know, he's Agassi-esque, if you like. It's been compared to me a fair few times. He is injured, though, and that is a concern because there's some talk about him not playing Queens now.
Right.
Which would be a worry because he's defending quarterfinal points at Wimbledon. But I think he's a major winner, Dave. I think he's got everything in the locker to be a major winner. But he does need someone around him. He needs good people around him. He needs good people around him to channel his aggression in the right way because he's pretty raw.
Let's have a look at the biggest of the four quarterfinals. Novak Djokovic versus Rafael Nadal. Looking forward to this one immensely. Novak Djokovic is 1-3. Rafael Nadal 12-5. The first thing that stands out for me, Nick, when looking at this matchup, are those odds. Rafael Nadal, for years and years and years, has been odds on to win the entire event. You get to a quarter final and just one match, and he's 12-5 to beat Novak Djokovic, who is 1-3. It perfectly advertises where they are and where they are with their games at the moment.
I was going to say, to be honest, Dave, I think it says, I think you can look at that two ways. I think you either look at it and say, well, it's down to Nadal's poor form. I would look at it more and say it's where Djokovic is at. Because I commentated on his match yesterday against Richard Gasquet, and it was number one against number 20 in the world. And quite frankly, it might have been number one against number 220 if you didn't know, because the gulf in class was staggering. I mean, Djokovic, it was just playing on a different level. Now, Gasquet, again, is not the quite player Nadal is, of course, and never has been, and has always been struggling with guys that have, you know, being able to force him into the defensive positions. But it almost looked as though Djokovic was playing at about 50% yesterday, and he still only lost a handful of games. I mean, it was phenomenal tennis, you know. And, you know, nothing has swayed my mind, Dave, from where we were a week ago. Nadal's played pretty well. Yes, he's played pretty well. I thought, you know, he's being able to defend his positions. Again, his forehand looks pretty good. I think the backhand's improved again from where it was before. But again, yesterday against Jack Sock, you know, not quite as clinical as he might have been up a break in the third, having, you know, on the verge of a two sets to love win, drops his serve and then loses a set. And then all of a sudden it gets a little bit tight again. And then he's able to find a way through. I can't go away from Djokovic, Dave. I really can't here. For me, as I said to you, he knows how to beat Nadal. He's got the game to beat him. All right, you can throw it back that, of course, Nadal's never been beaten here. Only Robin Söderling has done it. We all know that. But I just think Djokovic is in the best place of his career right now. I think mentally and physically he is good. There is a slight concern over an injury he has. He had the trainer out against Gilles Muller in the second round for an abdominal problem. And yesterday against Gasquet, again, was stretching it out quite a bit. So that's a slight concern. He actually took a day off practicing here, and I wonder if he'll do the same today. He may not practice today because I think there is a little bit of a concern there. But I just think he's going to come out strong here. I think he's going to come out and try and beat him up. I think the weather's going to be a little bit warmer tomorrow, which may well help Nadal a fraction. But I just can't go away from Djokovic, Dave. I think he's playing at a different level to Nadal. I simply do. And I think it wouldn't surprise me if he won this fairly handily. I really believe that. I think it could well be Djokovic three sets to love here. I think, you know, the back end is rock solid. The forehand, he's so able to bully people with that shot. He's so intelligent with what he's doing. The drop shot he's used a lot here. The serve's great. There's no holes in his game right now. And I just think Nadal is, yes, he's had some good wins this week, but he's not the player he was a couple of years ago. I may well turn out to be a little foolish in saying that, but for me, I would be shocked if Djokovic doesn't win this match. I think he's playing at a different level.
Djokovic in straight sets, 13-8 here. Djokovic to win it at 3-0. Nick, do you think this is as highly motivated as Rafael Nadal will ever be, stepping onto onto court tomorrow afternoon, I just get the feeling he'll have incredible desire, yeah. Nick, to beat Novak Djokovic.
Yeah, but when did he not have incredible desire, Dave? I mean, we're talking about, as I said to you, with I think you're talking about the greatest competitor the game's ever seen. You know, on any stage, it's always been his way. He's never lacked that. That's never been an issue. But confidence is not where it needs to be. His game is not where it has been. And you know, Djokovic. You look at Djokovic's results on clay this year, and again, he's yet to lose on clay. You know, the run he had in Rome, where he was dominating players. You know, and when he needed to go through the gears, he was able to do so. I just don't think Djokovic fears him. And I think, you know, there's so many players, obviously, over the years that have come in here and have feared Nadal. And I just don't think that's there with Djokovic. I really don't. I think he's so confident. He's playing with such a belief. The length that he keeps on the ball off the ground is going to keep Nadal pinned back. I think, you know, again, I was looking at a graphic yesterday of the ball placement of where he's directing the ball. And, you know, he's keeping the ball to such a great length. It's so tough to attack him. I mean, the look on Gasquet's face yesterday at times was almost... It wasn't just resignation. You know, he just couldn't believe where this guy was coming from and how he was playing. He's just playing at a level above everyone else at the moment. And I haven't seen anything from Nadal so far in this tournament that makes me believe that he can turn the tables.
Yeah.
If he comes out tomorrow, he's going to need to play the best match I think he's maybe ever played in his life. And I think that's saying a lot. And I think Djokovic is going to win.
Quick line on Jack Sock before we leave this as well, because we talked about Nick Kyrgios as maybe a man to pick up the baton when this generation of fantastic tennis players eventually hang up their rackets. Where does Jack Sock stand in that pantheon, Nick?
I need to see him on other surfaces, I think, Dave. Clay's a good surface for him because the forehand, because it sits up for him. He's got one of the most aggressively spun forehands in the game, much like Nadal's, to be honest. Backhand is weak, but it's improved a lot. Again, he's quite a hothead. He's very good friends, actually, with Kyrgios. They're kind of cut from the same cloth, if you like, in that regard, because they're both very similarly confident, cocky, almost kind of individuals. So I'm not quite sure how his game's going to translate on grass, Sock, where the ball bounces a bit lower because he has a very extreme grip on his forehand side. Obviously, he did win Wimbledon last year on the grass court in the doubles, but that's a different story. So I need to see him. I need to see him play on other surfaces. Hard courts should favour him. But yeah, I think he certainly doesn't lack for belief, and that counts for a lot. I think he's not going to be overawed. But yeah, the back end still is a bit of a weakness. So I think he's definitely a top 20 player. But he's got to do it week in, week out. And the Americans have always struggled a little bit on the road. You know, that's been their biggest problem. When they travel, they've kind of found it tough. But he's certainly not afraid.
Let's move on to the women's side then. And we'll start off with Anna Ivanovic versus Alina Svitolina. Ivanovic is 2-5 to win this match. Svitolina 2-1, Nick. These two have met on 6 occasions, Nick, and Ivanovic has come out on top on all 6 occasions.
Yeah, I mean, tough one this, because Svitolina was a wonderful junior. She was a world junior champion, Dave. She's coached actually by a British guy called Ian Hughes, who worked with the LTA for a long time. He actually met her at the academy in Belgium when he went to go and coach over there at the Sixth Sense Academy in Belgium, and got together there. She's from the Ukraine. She has a very... without sounding too stereotypical, Eastern European mentality. She's extremely tough. She fights. She's disciplined extremely disciplined. She's extremely focused. And there is one element of her game that perhaps is a bit weaker, and that's the forehand side. She's not able to hit with a great deal of aggression off the forehand side. The backhand is fantastic, but the forehand is a weakness, and that is the direct opposite of Ivanovic, whose forehand is probably, when it's on, one of the best in the world. You know, that serve and forehand combination for Ivanovic are destructive, and they've certainly been proving that so far. And she's kind of bucked the trend a little bit this year because she didn't play well. She hasn't had a great year, Ivanovic, certainly a clay court season that was not great, but she has found a way here. I think a lot is going to depend on how Ivanovic holds her nerves today, because we know she has in the past got a bit tight. She has got a bit nervous, and when she's played certainly players that she's expected to beat, she's just got a little bit tight. So the head-to-head certainly reads favourably. I think this match is in Ivanovic's hands. I think she has the weapons to take out Svitolina if she can play well. The serve obviously can go slightly awry. The ball toss, if you start seeing the ball toss waver early on, then I think you'd probably be wanting to get on Svitolina because that shows that she's a bit nervous and a bit concerned and not perhaps quite with the confidence. But I think the head-to-head says a lot. 6-0 for Ivanovic. As I say, I think her game should match up fairly well against Svitolina. It's going to be about if, you know, she's going to be allowed to dictate here, but she has in the past got tight, and that's the only concern. I've got to go with Ivanovic. I think she's had some confidence-boosting wins. You know, beating Makarova was a good win in three sets. You know, a top 10 player, Makarova's been very consistent. She's got a new coach this week. Mats Merkel's working with her. She does change coaches like the weather, to be fair, so it's not been particularly consistent for her. But I'd probably have to lean with Ivanovic just slightly because Svitolina also doesn't quite have the experience here. So probably Ivanovic in a couple of tight sets for me.
Ivanovic to win two sets to love there is 11-10. Garbiñ Muguruza next up against Lucy Safarova. It's a pick 'em here with William Hill, Nick. 10-11 Muguruza. Safarova is 10-11. Safarova, incredible result against Maria Sharapova in the last 16, Nick, winning 7-6, 6-4. They had tight encounters previously, that pair, but I couldn't see that one coming.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, Safarova's had a wonderful year, Dave. I mean, she won the title in Doha early in the year. She's made a lot of improvements to her game. And if you look at the stats of yesterday's match, I mean, I was commentating on that match. She hit 34 winners to 22 unforced errors. You know, against someone like Sharapova, that's impressive. She was able to dictate Sharapova from the back of the court, something that is not easy to do on a heavy day. She was able to use the lefty serve to her advantage. Obviously, the one weakness of Sharapova's game is the movement, and Safarova did expose that, her forehand cross court. She used that well with a bit of angle that just got Sharapova moving to her left. Wasn't quite as comfortable with that. And to be fair, Sharapova afterwards was very open, and she said, look, the better player won on the day, and she was too good for me. She's improved a lot, Safarova. She's trimmed down a bit. She's got a lot fitter. I think she makes a lot better decisions on the court. Perhaps in the past when she was in trouble in points, she would try and hit her way out of trouble. Now she doesn't panic quite so much. And also, you know, she's won a lot of doubles titles. And we often say that if you're able to win at any form of the game, it gives you a lot of belief. She won the Australian Open earlier in the year with Bethany Mattek-Sands. And, you know, that helps in a number of regards. That helps with your confidence. That helps with the shorter balls when you're moving up there, the volleys and all that sort of thing. And that has definitely, I think, translated into her singles game. So she's definitely playing the best tennis of her life. Muguruza, obviously, again, didn't come in here with a great deal of form. She's been returning very well. Again, I was looking at some of the stats last night. She's broken serve 20 times in this tournament already, and that's impressive. You know, she's a tall girl. She's able to cut the angles off. I don't know. It is tough to call this one, I must say. I probably would have to lean with Safarova, just. I think I've been so impressed with the way she played yesterday. You know, to beat a defending champion, I think she's a different player than where she was a year ago. She's been very consistent, Safarova, as well. You know, she made the semifinals of Wimbledon last year. She's in the top 10 for the first time in her career. So I think she's on an upward curve significantly, Lucy Safarova, here. And that's why I'd probably just lean with her. Mm. But it is tough to call. Muguruza, obviously, you know, Muguruza is very much a Sharapova sort of esque player. Probably moves a little bit better than Sharapova on this surface. But I think Safarova, the confidence that she has in her game, might just see her over the line here.
They've not played each other either, Nick. And it's tough. We talk about styles making fights on the tennis court. But it's difficult to analyse it given that they've not seen each other's games competitively before.
Yeah, exactly. Then I think you probably have to go back and look at Muguruza's record against left-handers. You know, she's played one, I think, at this tournament already and won, so I think you have to look at that. And I think you have to ask yourself, you know, if this is going to be simply, again, with a lot of women's tennis these days, it is about who can get that first strike in, who can convert on the shorter ball initially and get the player defending. And as I say, I think Safarova has the ability to do that. Muguruza, obviously, in a similar vein. Again, I must confess, I haven't seen a whole lot of Muguruza so far at this championship, but from what I hear, she's been solid. You know, there was a fair bit of pressure on Muguruza coming in this week because she hadn't done a lot coming in, and she made the quarterfinals here last year, so obviously beating Serena Williams along the way, so she had those points to defend. But I just think experience may play its part here, and Safarova's been around a little longer than Muguruza and probably has waited for this opportunity a little more, so I think a lot will probably go on between the years, and I just lean towards the Czech player. I think, you know, she's done a lot of winning this year, and I think that may be the difference.
10-11 Safarova to beat Garbine Muguruza. On to Wednesday's quarterfinals on the women's side, and we'll start with Serena. Serena Williams 1-9 to beat Sara Errani, who is 11-2. They've met 8 times on tour, and Serena Williams has won all 8. And she's got the game where she can kind of bully Sara Errani on court, can't she?
Well, the biggest issue here is the serve. Errani just doesn't have a serve. The only thing that it's a means of starting the point for Errani, and that's not good enough against Serena Williams, because she'll be able to dictate off her own serve and off the return. So, you know, it's pretty hard to find a case for Errani here. I mean, the only thing I would say is the last time they played was in Fed Cup, and it was pretty tight. It was 3 sets, but that was Serena Williams' first match on clay this year. So there were circumstances surrounding that where you certainly could excuse that performance. So very difficult to make a case for Errani here. To be honest, Serena Williams has looked pretty scratchy, but, you know, she's tough as they come, as we know. And I think it's the first time the first time in about a decade that she's actually won 3 matches in a row in 3 sets at a major. So, you know, she's had to come through some tight spots. Azarenka had her a breakup in the third a couple of days ago. Sloane Stephens yesterday was a set and a break, should have converted, didn't. But as we always know, it's getting over not just beating Serena Williams, but it's getting over beating the world number one and the aura that she carries, and players have not been able to do that. I really can't make a case for Errani here, Dave. I just think Serena's not played great, but this is not a good matchup for Errani. So for me, it's Serena in a couple of sets.
Okay, Serena to win it 2-0, 4-11. Just having a quick glance at the outright while we're talking about Serena Williams, Nick. 4-7, Serena Williams to win the outright. Do you think she's fallible? Obviously, you've just mentioned that she's been taken to 3 sets in consecutive rounds. She looks like not got that aura of invincibility she once had.
No, I wouldn't be on her at 4-7 at the moment. Definitely not. No, I'd be looking at probably someone like a Safarova and Ivanovic with a bit of value there. I haven't seen the tennis this year from Serena Williams that would make me back her at that price, Dave.
And the other quarterfinal, the top end of the draw, a surprising quarterfinal matchup here. Timea Bacsinszky versus Alison Van Utvank, and it's 2-9 Bacsinszky and Van Utvank in the market at 16-5.
Yeah, both have got pretty remarkable stories. Certainly Bacsinszky, you know, she had a very fractured past. Her father was abusive towards her when she was growing up. She gave up the game as a result. She became so disillusioned with tennis 3 or 4 years ago that she actually stopped playing. You know, it tore her family apart. So it's a remarkable story, and it's worth having a look, actually, because she's been through some tough times. She's coached by Dmitry Zavialov, who actually was Stan Wawrinka's coach in his early days. But she's had a wonderful year. I mean, she's going to be inside the world's top 20 for the first time in her career after this event. Started the year at 47, so she's already halved her ranking. Pretty awful performance from Petra Kvitova again yesterday. I must say, I didn't see the whole lot of it, but from the bits and bobs I did see and looking at the numbers, I mean, 40 unforced errors. It was one of those days for Kvitova. I kind of fancied her for the outright, but you know, as we always know with her, you're always kind of slightly concerned because there are days when she simply can't find the court, and that was one of those days yesterday, and Bacsinszky was able to come back well. Alison Van Utvank, I actually commentated on her for the very first time in March this year.
Right.
In an event in Poland. And very tall girl, has a really game of a lot of variety, actually, which is quite refreshing these days. She actually comes in a fair bit. She uses the slice backhand quite a lot. She uses the drop shot quite a lot. She has a lot of variety in her game. And just 21 years of age, as you say, a big breakthrough event for her. She's ranked in the 90s at the moment. Has benefited from a pretty good draw, I must say. I think if you're looking at the betting in this match, I think you do have to slightly take that into consideration, because she played the Romanian Mitu yesterday in the round of 16, who also obviously I think is ranked outside the top 100, so she hasn't played of anyone of particular quality so far. So that's why I'd probably have to lean with Bacsinszky. Again, greater experience in these events, you know, has played at a higher level for a longer period of time, so I'd probably have to lead with Bacsinszky here. But again, a lot will depend on how both cope with the situation.
Could be a 3-setter. Bacsinszky, 2-1, 16-5 there.
Yeah, wouldn't surprise me because there will be a bit of nerves probably with both. Van Uytvanck obviously has come out of nowhere in a way, to be honest. You know, if you look at her record on tour, she hasn't done a great deal, just one semi-final in that event in Poland. But she's certainly got some game, and she'll bring some variety to the table. I don't think Baczynski will get as many errors from Van Uytvanck as she did against Kvitova. So, yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if it went the distance this one.
Nick, thank you as ever for your company. Who are you commentating on this afternoon?
I am doing the men's match. It'll be Wawrinka and Federer, so that should be good.
Yeah, it should be good fun. Thank you, Nick, and we'll catch up as the tournament progresses. It's been a pleasure.
Pleasure, Dave.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.